All right, for those who are not Irish and have slightly stronger non-Cork accents than I, you'll just have to maybe spell Ballycommon.
Ballycommane. Hello, my name is Andy. You're very welcome to Ballycommon House and Gardens.
Here, that's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
It's another Friday afternoon and you are tuned to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/Sideshow and Sideshow.com. Now, we've had some of the gardens of West Cork Garden Trail on the show before, but let me just intro you to Miriam Cotton, the brains behind West Cork Garden Trail and the woman that really makes it all tick.
Miriam Cotton, West Cork Garden Trail.
This one is a debut. It's a year in the making. It's taken me that long to get here. But for the moment, Miriam, you're very welcome. And thanks for having me down to Cork.
Oh, you're most welcome. We're delighted to see you here at long last.
Delighted to see me. I'm going to get that in writing and I'm going to get it signed. And I'm going to post it up on sideshow.com for all of you to see. I'm joking. Miriam, for those who aren't aware, what is West Cork Garden Trail?
Well, the West Cork Garden Trail is the oldest trail in Ireland, as it stands at 22 years old. It was started 22 years ago now by a very energetic woman called Femi Rose, who had a garden over on Sheep's Head, the beautiful Sheep's Head, called Kilravic Gardens.
Let's sidetrack here slightly, because your background is what?
I'm not a gardener by training. I'm a gardener or a garden visitor, if you like. Visiting gardens is something myself and my husband have done for years. We were members of the National Trust and we lived in England. And coincidentally, my husband was commissioned to design a website for the Garden Trail about 5 years ago now. And I got involved on a voluntary basis that way around in helping the Garden Trail to promote itself. And
let me just backtrack that, because I've got a friend, Anthony McGuinness, who kind of helps out with the Sideshow website. So that's the modern day equivalent of Anthony McGuinness, who is a tech genius, ending up running the Sideshow. Is that a fair way to put that?
That's a good analogy. That's exactly how we became to be involved. I mean, it's an incredibly enjoyable job of work to have to do. We get to go around and visit all these beautiful gardens all the time. Our commute to work can take us out to the Sheep's Head or down to Barra or back up inland to Glenview Gardens. So, you know, it's thoroughly enjoyable work, very rewarding and beautiful to watch the gardens.
How many gardens are involved in West Cork Garden Trail?
It fluctuates from year to year, somewhere between 16 and 19 as a rule. We have 15 this year, and very pleased to say that another 6 gardens have applied this summer to join the Garden Trail. So we're going to see a substantial increase in the number of gardens on the trail in 2017. I think it's becoming very popular. I think word is getting out. People are becoming interested both in visiting and in joining the trail. We're very excited that so many people now want to join the trail, because we know there are many different types of beautiful garden around the place that would make lovely addition to this trail or any other trail. And the same is true all over the country, of course, where you're seeing, you know, a growing interest in garden visiting and in gardening in general, I think.
So let's sidetrack here, because I holidayed in West Cork last year. And I ended up out by Kilbritton. And obviously I get to do what I do for a living, which is the making of gardens. So going to see more gardens, not so much for me, but for maybe those in my company, might not have been top of the list. So I could end up talking about more gardens again and again and again and again and again. But how come it took you the guts of a year plus to get me down to West Cork and onto the trail?
Well, from what I can make out, you're just so incredibly busy. You couldn't make it any sooner, really. I think that's the truth of the matter. But, you know, we did keep on trying. We persevered. We had faith. We kept asking nicely, I think. And here you are. So, you know.
And that was that. That's Miriam. What a wonderful woman. What a wonderful woman. In context, when you think about it, and when you consider that Sideshow sponsors, that I went back down to West Cork, not only for my own holidays, but also again with Anthony and Darren, two good friends of mine. And where did we go? Well, in fact, the first place we went to was Ballycommon House and Gardens. And they're who you are about to hear from just now. Before I go any further on that, if you're thinking about going down, the weekend of July the 9th to Sunday, I am in Blarney Castle and Gardens. Yep, yours truly will be talking. I will be giving a talk at Blarney and Bloom, the festival. If you're heading down, you want to drop me a note, you want to drop me a line, just drop me a line. Hit me up at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow and sideshow.com. And if you have that extra little bit of time, head across to your iTunes or podcast provider and leave a little bit of a rating review. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy and Ingo. We are in beautiful Wells Cork. I am surrounded by, again, I'm blessed to get to do this, but Ballycommon House and Gardens is number one. Exquisite, beautiful, interesting, different, always. And again, it's got that little bit of West Cork secret kind of a climate about it, which means things are, again, slightly different, but as a landscape. There is accommodation, you can stay here, and we'll get to that story in just a little bit of a minute. Andy, your accent is very strong, West Cork.
Well, I've lived here for 11 years now, but I'm originally from Germany, and I'm a travel writer. I decided to settle down here in Ireland. It was one of my destinations for many years. Eventually, myself and my partner Ingolf decided this is the place where we want to live.
So what is the story, the backstory to Ballycommon House?
It's an old farm originally, with some old farm buildings or outbuildings remaining. We restored them carefully. And so it's this farm is set in 4 acres of private land. We developed the gardens over the last 10 years. We basically started from scratch, as there was not much here before, just some paddock and turf and overgrown sections. And so a lot of time and effort went into just clearing the land, landscaping it, putting drainage pipes before we could start planting the garden.
When you bought it, because the picture in my head is always that stereotypical television program, and it's and not to be disrespectful to you or not to reference you in any way, but man, and you see a pile of bricks on a piece of overgrown grass, and the couple are kind of saying, "Let's buy it and restore it. The kids will love this, and we'll have a great time, and we'll be closer together because of this." And then you realize 2 years later, they actually wanted to secretly kill each other because the project just didn't go as all of the entire of the population watching kind of knew it wouldn't go. Did you have an entire set of runes? Was it a disaster? Did it take you 3 years? But was it one of them? Was it a good journey? Was it a bad journey? Was it a funny journey, always in hindsight?
Well, we had ups and downs on our way. The house itself seemed to be, as we thought, was in fair condition. Of course, then we discovered that there was a lot that needed to be done in terms of plumbing and wiring and rewiring. So a lot of time went into the house. And only when that was finished, we started rebuilding and restoring the old outbuildings. And that took us another 3 years and a lot of patience, of course, and not only patience. But we were fortunate enough to have a neighbor who is a very experienced stonemason. And so he carefully restored these outbuildings, and we re-roofed them. And so now we can appreciate once again this beautiful farm and the surrounding houses.
Let's just put my mildly bad, terrible sense of humor into perspective, because one of the things that you brought me to see, and this will give you an idea of how far back this piece of land goes and the outbuildings that are in it, what some might say is a stone on a hill probably has a greater, more historical story to it.
Well, we were fortunate enough to discover a Bronze Age monument on our land. It was, of course, already known before we bought this place, but it couldn't be seen because it was all overgrown. And so we started more or less clearing the land and excavating. And now you can really appreciate this this Bronze Age monument again. It's a boulder burial built 3,500 years ago. And next to it, there's a pair of standing stones. And it's just a beautiful, magic place because it's overlooking a broad valley with the green rolling hills of West Cork in the distance. And there's even a distant view of the Sheepshead Peninsula. And so it's a very special place to us. And it's beautiful to sit there in the evening, not just ourselves, but also our guests. May sit there and on a bench overlooking this magic place.
That does something magic, but once a year, have I got that? I have that correct, I do.
Oh yes, there's a special event once a year on the longest day of the year, the summer solstice, so it's the 21st of June. You can watch the sunrise there if you stand at the boulder and aim for the second standing stone. You can see the sunrise in an alignment, so in one line. And the stone, the quartz boulder, is illuminated by the first rays of the rising sun. And that is so absolutely overwhelming.
Ingolf, the gardens, and let's get to that if we can. There are a few assets. I say a few assets. The grounds itself are quite, well, they're extremely relaxing. And it is, again, it goes back to that thing earlier on. It's staying longer without even realizing that you have, which I'm sure is difficult if you want some guests to kind of move on a little bit, but the collections that you have in place.
Well, there are different areas of the garden, of course. And for example, we created a Gondwana bed, for example, just plants from the Gondwana time and area. And then, for example, a special one is our bed with Azorean plants, for example. We created this just 4 years ago from seeds, you know, and then you will find lots of different subtropical plants, you know, which are surrounding the gardens. And so there are different kinds of plants. Well, then, of course, some Irish ones, or let's say even endemic here in Ireland. You know, you have to mention the Killarney Storm tree, of course, for example. And so that's it, you know, in a way, you know. So we would like to attract different people who are interested in different kinds of plants, you know, from different kinds of, from different areas of the world.
What's the story? I walk around and all gardens on an estate, I'll call it an estate for a minute, this size, you either go two options, and one is you draw up a grandiose master plan and you basically have a leprechaun or a benefactor, to go to Machiavellian terminology, both mildly fictitious in this day and age, and you invest a bazillion euros of money into performing that grandiose master plan. Or you take the alternate, which is you kind of go, well, wouldn't it be nice if we did this? And then you go, well, wouldn't it be nice if we did that? And then this fascination with essentially plants becomes more than a hobby. It becomes a mild obsession, and the gardens start to evolve. And then you realise, well, actually, we've just created something quite beautiful without even trying. Were you a mix of both of them? Was it how did that all start?
You're absolutely right. It was more or less a mixture, you know. At the beginning, yes, we had an idea how we would like to create the garden, but then we had to follow a step-by-step approach in a way. You know, we started from scratch. We started to have to create different areas, and then we, of course, had to invest heavily, you know, in plants, you know, and then we started from there. But then for a sudden we noticed, for example, some soil wasn't appropriate. The microclimate in different parts of the garden were different. So we had to change our plants, and so we had to restart again in a way, and we even had to replant some of our plants. And until we were finally happy with that, what we had decided. So in a way, it was more a step-by-step approach in a way, you know. No big plan in mind at the beginning. No investments in a landscaper, sorry to say that, you know. Right. So we did it ourselves in a way.
Do you find, though, and it's very easy sometimes to play some people might call armchair football manager, where it's me shouting at the television telling Martin O'Neill or Arsene Wenger, why don't you put him on? And you realise, well, I'm just sitting in an armchair. And equally in the horticultural sense of the world, mm-hmm. It's very easy for me to come here and say, why didn't they do that with X and X and X? But in theory, what you're saying to me is, no. We didn't know that that soil there was that, and we didn't know that that's... And when you say micro, it's very, very... You're talking, 200 meters that way and 300 meters that way. Yeah,
exactly like that, Of course, we had decided for West Cork, We had decided for the mildest climate here of Ireland. We had decided because we knew of the Gulf Stream. And so that was the first step. That was easy. But then we identified for a sudden, then we noticed, oh my goodness, even if we had read a book about a specific plant and we thought, okay, that's the right place, that's the right sun, that's the right climate, everything is fine, it didn't work out well. So then we had to replant, and for a sudden, thriving plant, so we had, it's definitely a different approach, as we are both gardeners ourselves, we like to work in the garden, so we did it ourselves, and we had to experience, and then we made a lot of mistakes, but finally, as you see, we were successful with our garden, but it was really, it was really based on our experiences. And, talking about microclimate, you are absolutely right. 20 meters from here, we do have a totally different microclimate. And we do have the most tender plants in a specific area of our garden, And in others, you might have others, we might have the oak trees, for example, It's exactly what happened.
What is the reaction of the guests when they come and stay here? Because let's bring this down to pounds or euros or dollars. You have a business here, and to me it doesn't feel like a business. It feels like I'm in a very beautiful park. Is too great a word in size, but it feels like I'm in somebody's home where I'm eternally welcome, which is something that you can't.
Bless you.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's something that you can't invent. You can't design that. It has to be.
Allergic again.
I'm not allergic. Jesus. I'll stand out of the sun.
Sometimes the sun actually.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Which side are we? You're that side. You're that side.
Yeah. Confusing. I know.
But it's something that you can't design into a garden, a feeling of welcoming. You can try, but sometimes it doesn't always come across. It's like a piece of music. It's like writing a poem. It's one of those things. But you've done it extremely well. Do you find that the guests turn around and you're about to serve them coffee and then you realise, where did they go? It's 2 o'clock. They got up at 9. Where have they gone to? Do you experience that, or is that just my imagination?
Well, our guests really, really enjoy the gardens, and so they want to spend more time here actually than they had originally planned, and they're really, really overwhelmed by what they get to see and experience, and they truly feel when they are staying here, an atmosphere of home from home. On the one hand, they feel like at home. On the other hand, they have an environment that is quite different, probably from what they from their day life, and it gives them time to relax, to contemplate, to enjoy this very tranquil environment. Of course, we're a small business. Our B&B has only 4 rooms, so it keeps it quite private, and it's not a big hotel set in a park, but a very small guest house actually set in 4 acres of land.
Are the outhouses, are they going to become places of accommodation?
Sorry. Oh yes, one of the outhouses will become a holiday home from next spring onwards. This is the biggest one, and it will be fine for up to 3 people finally. Or the other houses, we make use of them. For example, one will become the smaller one, the smallest one, and the former piggery will become a kind of visiting center for our visitors here, giving explanations, for example, about the boulder burial, which Andy mentioned already, and giving information about the Bronze Age, etc. So we make use of all these houses, and there's a farm, there's the hen house, which is now a kind of greenhouse, and the piggery, which I mentioned already, for the visitings as a visiting center, and then the oldest Puy Famine farmhouse will become the holiday home.
He says piggery, and he says hen house, and he says the oldest Puy Famine home, and in your head you would rightly have some kind of picture of a dilapidated. It's not. You'd happily move into it. The stonework is majestic. The views, even out the wee little tiny windows, as they should have been at that time, is exquisite, and the landscape around it is beautiful. Here's a sidetrack, and this might just put things into context. We are probably to the back of the house for very good reason, because at the front of the house, one of your guests, I thought that the village people had, not YMCA village people, but I thought that the people of the village of West Cork had found out that I was arriving this morning, and you had a guy playing, was it the trumpet?
Yes.
Yeah, he was playing the trumpet on the hill, and I thought it was to welcome me. It wasn't. This was one of your guests.
Yes. Yes, he just enjoyed the atmosphere here, and he asked, is it all right if I play the trumpet? And we said, of course, you're very welcome. And it's beautiful to hear music played by our guests here in this magic place. And
Okay, so if you head to sodshow.com, at sodshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesodshow. Okay, first of all, that's if you're driving and you're doing that commute thing, because that's how you listen to the podcast, some of you anyway, apart from Ben Brace. Hi, Ben. But you'll see the video of outside the front of the house, and you'll understand why I thought I was hallucinating or hearing things when I heard a trumpet playing, because unless one of the sheep or the two cows that were hiding behind a tree somewhere were playing, and it was an impossibility. It was like a scene from the Far Side Gallery that really didn't exist. But that kind of surmises the little bit of magic that you have here to an extent.
Yes. It's a tranquil environment, but at the same time, you hear all these sounds of nature, cows or the river. There's a river nearby, but it's a tranquil environment after all, and so you enjoy it. And if there's music, that's a bonus, absolutely. You know, if music is played by our guests, which sometimes happens. It's not the first time that you hear that.
If people are listening to this and they're kind of going, right, Peter, that's it, I'm doing the thing, I'm going to Ballycommon House, what is the best way to plane, train, automobile get here?
By car, it's quite easy. We're near Bantry, and we're 2 kilometers from the N71, from Bantry to Ballydee Hop. So you find us there. We're near Durrus, a small village between Mizzen and Sheepshead Peninsula. And so that's where you find us. And
is there a website? Do you do the Twitter thing? Are you on the Facebook?
Yes, there's a website, www.bellycommon.com, or Facebook.
And Facebook is facebook.com/bellycommon.
You come here on the wettest day, and let's be honest about it, Ireland is very, very good at doing the rain thing. I always enjoy it when the rain comes down, sometimes a little bit more than I enjoy the sunshine. In my head, and what I tell my six-year-old daughter is, when the rain comes down, number one, it makes your hair grow, which was my mom's one. But number two, the little people start playing music underneath the flowers, which is old Irish fable stuff. So in reality, what happens is, sometimes she's wearing a white dress, which the front of then becomes quite black, because she actually goes out looking underneath the flowers for the little people playing the music. In your case, you had a trumpet and the sun was shining. It was like, you know, that picture has kind of got a record scratched through it. Is it a little bit, to use the phrase, but is it a little bit musical here when the rain is coming down? And I'm hesitant to say there's a rainbow involved, because that makes it maybe a little bit too kind of diddly Irish, when that's not my intention. Does that question make sense?
I think this place is very special, even on a rainy day. I mean, the weather is very changeable, of course, being so close to the Atlantic Ocean.
The gardens are beautiful. They are young enough, which is a good thing, because they've got a kind of a freshness to it. But they've also got that kind of sense of maturity, and from what you're saying, there's been a little bit of trial, and as always, and any gardener horticulturist who says different, that there's been no error, their pants are on fire right this minute, and everybody knows that. However, you've got that bit of constant old and new here at every corner and turn. And some of it is, I understand, stone, and some of it is, but for the greater part, it's of the gardens, it's of the softer, it's of the things that can fall over and equally do well for you. There are banana trees outside, there are banana trees in flower in your glasshouse. It is a constant, ever-changing. What's the future for the gardens? What's the next step? Have you got a great plan where you may fall out, where it may cost you too much money, where it may actually work, where it may not?
Well, as we invested all our money already in the garden, you know, we're running out of money. No, but that's not... Now, the most important job is to maintain the garden as it is, you know, right now, because there's a lot of work to be done, just done by the two of us. But, of course, we would like to learn more from the garden, you know. We learn that some plants are thriving and others don't do so. So that means we will change the garden all the time. It will never stop. It will never come to an end. We will develop it in a way. And, of course, what we do have in mind, and that was the first idea we had 10 years ago, we would like to have even more subtropical plants in our garden, but we have to see how far we can go, you know. As let's say the minus degrees are, let's say, -1 in this area, you know, what can we do, you know? So how far can we go with subtropical plants? That's the next step we would like to follow.
But saying how far can you go, And I get it, and I fully empathise with you on this one, but saying how far can you go with, in brackets, subtropical, next word, plants, is like my dad telling me when we were younger, and he might have only had one or two, and we used to say, "Dad, have you found the perfect pint of Guinness yet?" And he'd say, "No, maybe the next time." And you're kind of going, so it's a never-ending story, in brackets, money. Time, it's never going to... Will you find the end of the rainbow, I suppose, is the other way to ask that question.
We will never find that, of course. It's a process, you know. And we like the expression which our guests quite often use. They say, "Oh, it's a project." And they are right. It's a project. We never had this in mind. It's a constant project to develop this garden. And, well, mentioning money, you know, we changed. We changed it in a way. We bought plants in the past. And now we are concentrating more on, let's say, cuttings, seeds, etc. And we start from there, you know. That's okay, because the garden is already developed. It's in some parts mature, and in some other parts it's quite young. But now we can go, and now we can take a different route. Starting with plants from seeds and cuttings, for example.
And we're also selling them now, because, you know, we have a number of rare plants here, rare species. And so we're propagating these plants, and we're selling small plants and seeds as well. And we're supplying some botanic gardens with these rare plants as well, which is, I think, an important aspect in our garden.
That is pretty impressive. And that probably, I think that line alone probably puts a lot into context. But you've done it in, what did you say, 10 years?
Yeah, so it's only 10 years. Well, we have had some background experience. Back in Frankfurt, where we lived before, we had an allotment, and we spent all our time and effort there. Before we eventually decided, well, we wanted a totally different place, and where we could develop our own ideas about gardening. And so, it's only 10 years that we're here. But the place, I mean, there's massive growth, due to the mild climate. There's growth for 11 months a year here. So when you look at the trees, mature trees, you think, oh, they must be 25 years old. But they were only planted 10 years ago, which is impressive.
If you do manage to come here and you're listening to this piece of audio, you're going to look at those trees and you're not going to say 25, you're going to say 30, 40, 50, 60, older. The plants, the hedges, the hydrangeas in majestic flower, there's rhododendrons, you name it, by Aeschylus. The list is absolutely endless, and I can't recommend it highly enough. It's kind of like domestic as a not park, as I said at the start, but it's beautiful and you will want to stay here longer. And fingers crossed, by the time you get here, the outhouse is kind of ready and you can sit outside, ask lads nicely, and they'll get a trumpet player to sit in the hill and he'll play as you come up the driveway. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real treat and a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you.
And I'll see you next weekend, Sunday, July the 9th, 2017, at Blarney Castle and Gardens. I'll be there. I'll be doing my talk. Come say hi at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/sideshow and sideshow.com. Thank you so much for listening.